I'm amazed at all this, hand clapping and rising. Usually I get an ovation at the end because I'm always the shortest one. I speak so briefly that people appreciate it. and I hope to do the same tonight. Economic disarmament. I always speak about the same thing, but it usually has different titles, that's all. This could be titled Nonviolent Economics. I am a pacifist. I do believe in nonviolence as a way of life. And I think, for me, it means in a way that economics, as it is quite violent. Pitting one person against another. Always thinking about the bottom line. That is not nonviolent economics, as far as I'm concerned. I would characterize real economics as what and how we produce and how we distribute those goods and services. From what I can understand, everything comes from the combination of natural resources and labor. Obviously, we wouldn't have to have a stock market. That would be one thing about that. I have never seen money reproduce itself. I have a postcard with this Cree-Indian prophecy. It says, only after the last tree has been cut down, only after the last river has been poisoned, only after the last fish has been caught, only then will you find that money cannot be eaten. Although I did write a story about a man who ate money, but someday you might like to read it. It's since I talk about money so much, I thought I ought to write something like that. We are all dependent on the earth, and I believe we should share equally in its bounty. Every useful work is as important as any other. And I have mused, what could any of us produce by ourselves? What could any of us at all produce? Could the surgeon operate without the farmer's food? Could the farmer till the soil without the plow or the hoe made by a workman? I know I couldn't. I use a hoe quite a bit. And I know that I am not doing that garden all by myself. Could the banker operate unless we bought into the myth that money makes the world go round? Especially for that this evening, I stress that war is a product of greed, of not acknowledging that we are interdependent, and that economic disarmament is absolutely necessary if we are to have a world without war. As John Woolman put it, oh, may we look upon our treasures and the garments that we wear and try if whether the seeds of war have any nourishment in these our possessions. What would a nonviolent economics look like? I don't really know. You know, I think we make the road as we travel. I know it would have some of these qualities, among others, and certainly no stock market or dealing in futures, whatever that is. I don't really know what it means. But it would be much more egalitarian. As a matter of fact, George Bernard Shaw, who was a socialist, says that the essence of socialism is that everybody makes the same money. And you should read his, Socialism. The Intelligent Woman's Guide to Capitalism and Socialism, in which he takes every single argument that people make and devastates it completely. You know, why that's not possible. He loses me some later on, but I think you should read that. It's worth reading. I think that one of the main things we'll have to do is taking into account that the earth is a living entity on which we depend, and when we deplete it, there won't be anything else. And that we are going to have to lean toward ever more simplicity, work against the gimme psyche that we have, and certainly not rob the majority of the world of things that are there for them in the earth to suit the whims of those of us in the so-called first world. No, not rob the third world. And what is the second world? I really haven't heard what the second world is, but maybe somebody can tell me. I just hear about the first and the third. Take me aside when I come down, really, let me know. the facts of life, which I'm not always so sure about. And years ago, I belonged to a group called Peacemakers. Oh, by the way, where Sonny, you know, somebody's supposed to let me know when I'm near, you know, when I speak 5 minutes so I can rush and finish up here. And so I've got notes, but I keep ad-libbing, you know, that's how it goes. But anyway, it says, one individual living by firmly held beliefs can begin to change the world in a small but significant way. And I really think that's all we can do. And Wally used to say, my husband who died last year, the individual is the most important thing, because it's not talking about a cult of individualism, but every group is made up of individuals. They have to get together. So that's the very important part. And so we must look to changing ourselves. And I always cringe when I say, oh, Bush is doing so and so, and Bush is doing so. Bush didn't make all the bombs, and he couldn't just put those bombs on his back and swim over to Iraq, you know? I mean, we are enabling that, I think. At least that's the take I have on it. And we are the only ones that we can really control. And as someone, I think, as Scott Ritter pointed out, we can't always do that very well, but anyway, we can try to do that for ourselves. I'll hold this out here because every time I look down at my notes, I lose the microphone. I have this idea that that if George Bush and company would bring about peace as we want them to do it, you know, I don't think they're omnipotent. I'm not sure that they can do it all by themselves anyway. I think there'd be a real revolution in this country, and maybe some of us would join it because we wouldn't be able to have everything that we have now. No way in a peaceful world. So my idea is, why don't we give it up now before we kill some more people and we get killed, you know? I mean, that's what I'd like to do. Plus the fact that I think that example is the best way, and if we did something really good, maybe George would see the light and follow our example. If we really did something besides talk about peace and how much we love peace. And I would like to maybe just be very practical. I'm a very practical person. And I'd like to just bring up a few things that we might consider, either by ourselves and getting in groups and talking about it, because, you know, it's not always so easy to change our ways, I think. Five minutes? Okay. So I'll just run through this laundry list real quick. War tax resistance, of course. That's very economic. Don't buy what you don't want. And I have a friend who's made this sign. She goes to peace parades, but she stands with that and says, don't buy what you don't want. I haven't bought a bomb since 1971. And I'm going to revise it and say, I haven't bought a bomb since 1948. All right. Then I hold it because I got to rush through this. I got to get through this, see? And then there's the land trust. None of us created the land. Why should any of us own it? I think I'd like to see people consider putting their land into community land trusts. Right? And if you don't have any land, that might be a good way to do it, because you wouldn't have to buy the land. You just pay a lease fee. Okay? And then the food that on the average plate of food that we get travels 1,500 miles. The average plate of food from a CSA, does everybody know what that is? A community, what is it? Supported agriculture. When I get in front, I just lose all, you know. Anyway, it travels only 45 miles. So why don't we all join those? I belong to a CSA. I mean, I'm a farmer in a CSA. And we'd like to have your patronage, and there are many around in this area. You pay a little bit more, great, because farmers don't get paid. We get more of a living wage from that sort of thing. So I would advise that. And then transportation, my God, that's, you know, if we can't give up the car, why don't we share rides more? Why don't we, I have a friend who says she just uses her car now only Fridays and Saturdays, except for emergencies. And, you know, we might even use a bicycle every once in a while. I'm too old to learn to use one, but anyway, you young folks could do that. And then we could share other resources. Washing machines, if we don't I don't want to rub our clothes on a board, which my mother did when we were growing up, and which I did for a while in New Mexico, share it. And for God's sake, don't use a dryer. Hang your clothes outside in the winter, in the summer, and hang them in the house in the summer. They get dry. They may not be look quite as nice. I don't know. And then I guess I would say that I think that that is a this business of sharing is something we really need to do. And then this one that I could talk about for ages is interest. I don't believe in interest. I've never seen money reproduce itself. I believe that it comes from the labor of others, and I once got a bank to agree not to give me interest. That's another cute story and all that. You could do that, really. Or if you're going to use a bank, you should do that. Otherwise, you could put in a credit union. Lend your money out at interest to individuals and causes you belong to. Everybody pays the interest. When somebody buys a company, borrows money, we all pay the interest on that thing. It's just a ridiculous, it's a ridiculous sort of thing, and I'd like to say a lot more about that, but I don't have time. And I just say, and the other thing is simplify, simplify, simplify. Now, I don't know if these steps are going to help anything, but what else can you do? You just try. And then, who knows, at least it'll change us. And I think of another, and this is the last thing, I think of another postcard I have which quotes from Mae Sarton, "We convert if we do it all, not by asking the impossible, but by being something irresistible." Thank you very much.